We welcome you to the Media Ministries of the Gathering Church in the Countryside YMCA of Mainville. As we love the Lord and each other, we're trusting that God would use us to plant a church in every YMCA around the world. To this end, would you join us? We meet on Sundays at 10 a.m. and in community groups throughout the week. As you listen to this resource, our prayer is that your love for Jesus would grow deep and your love for others would be seen and heard.
Explained and taught and applied. After the sermon, we're just going to give a short time of testimony. We're going to open up the mic and we're going to ask, hey, what's the Lord doing in your heart with regards to faith? Questions like, what's going on in your life that's stretching or pushing or causing you to build your faith in God? Things like that. And so if you'd like to share, we'd like to invite you. 2 points today. First one, saving faith. We're going to talk about the from faith aspect. We're going to talk about what makes your heart alive initially, saving faith. And then we're going to talk about sanctifying faith. That's the second point, that which sustains your heart and its life. So let's go ahead and start our time with prayer. Just to pause one more time. Ask the Lord to speak through His Word. I know sometimes we rush to church and we get the kids changed and diapers and breakfast and you're like, man, I'm just glad I made it here. Sometimes it's nice to just breathe a little bit. So let's pray. Ask the Lord to move. Lord, would you work in our hearts? We need you to move. And we're just trusting you. We're trusting you by faith. Lord, we're asking that as we study this subject of faith, that you would grow us. And you would show us areas of our life where we're needing to trust you or where we're actually despising the aspect of faith. So would you move now? And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're wondering, I did not leave my ringer on, but I did leave my music on in my office. And so Sophie, would you mind turning that off for us? And pretend like nothing's going on. Can you hear it? Oh, I can hear it. It's gonna mess me up. Yeah, it's back there. I'm not that strong. It's Van Halen back there, you know. Saving faith. Point number one, saving faith. So saving faith with regards to heart language, this EKG linguistic theme, okay? Saving faith is when you straight up got a heart transplant. Remember that last week? Drill, open up the chest, rib cage open, doctor taking the donor heart and first cutting out your old, dead, stone heart, ripping it out and putting the donor heart in and going, electromagnetic shock, getting it going. That's what your heart is like when it starts. We said last week, the human heart at the core, at its initial, thank you, Sophie, at its initial condition, at its human condition, is dark, evil, treacherous, deceitful. Woohoo! Isn't this exciting? All right, welcome to church. No such thing as a good guy if he doesn't have Christ. Our heart is totally depraved, we say. That's not my idea, that's Jeremiah, right? Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. No man can just like fix it. It's got to be a work of God. He says, who can understand it? So in other words, because of the fall, Adam and Eve, because of the fall, sin came in the world and our hearts were absolutely shattered, broken, and beyond human repair, tainted by sin, totally fallen, and hopeless without God. The New Testament confirms this. If you have a Bible, turn to Ephesians, okay? We're going to quick run through one of the greatest, I would say, top 10 chapters of the Bible, Ephesians 2. If you don't have a Bible, it's up here on the screen for you. Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins." And you were dead. That's verse 1. Funny pastor joke. If you want to know what dead means in the Greek, dead means... I know, it's pretty funny, isn't it? It's hilarious, isn't it? But it's true. If you look in the Greek says, dead is dead, right? In heart language, spiritually, before Christ, you were... There was no beep, beep, beep of life in you. Nothing. According to Ephesians 2:1, that was your spiritual condition before conversion. But one of the greatest news ever, let your eyes go down to verse 5 of chapter 2, that God made us alive together with Christ. Isn't that beautiful? This is the heart transplant that we're talking about. Again, it's not a physical thing. He didn't give you literally a new heart. If you're like wondering, what did God give me at conversion? It would be that He gave you a new nature. A new you, 2 Corinthians 5:17, that the old is gone and the new has come. I like to use the illustration of nature with a nature of a horse. So if you were going to give a horse the option of a filet mignon steak that has that like yummy peppercorn fried onion stuff, like just cooked and baked with butter, or hay from a field, and you lead a horse to it, which one is he going to eat? Is he going to eat the juicy hot filet mignon, or is he going to eat hay? Hay. Why? Because his nature is to eat hay, because hay is for horses. Hay is for horses. They don't eat steak. How do you get the horse to eat the steak? You got to change his very nature. To eat this, I don't know how to do that. That's where the illustration breaks down a little bit, right? But that's the deal. And pre-Christ, your nature was not one to eat the steak. Your nature was to choose the dirty, the old, the sinful. Something had to change. And the change was that God made you alive. He breathed His very life into you. And then Paul, in verse 8 of chapter 2, says this. It's the classic passage in Christianity. It summarizes salvation. For by grace you have been saved. How? What's the conduit of salvation? Faith. For by grace you've been saved through faith. Oh, that's because we're so smart, right? That's because we figured it out on our own. That's because we have so much gifting and talents and we just... No. It's not of yourselves. Silly. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no man can boast. So we as we're diving deeper into faith in this subject, getting ready to ask ourselves, how's my heart? How am I doing in with trusting God and things in my life? We're learning and defining what faith is, and we're seeing it's a gift. It's not of your own doing. It's a gift of God in salvation. If faith is something that you have to work up and conjure up, and if it's your offering to God, well, then your offering is a work, and it's no longer a gift. That's not faith. And so God, He regenerates your heart. He changes it. He makes it new. He breathes life. He saves you. He gives you the ability to respond in faith and repentance. He justifies you so that you're in right standing with God and you are a believer. Faith, then, is just this simple and initial act where God almost like puts His hand down and lifts up your chin and allows you to cry out to God for help. Lord, save me. Help me. I need you. And that's when, from faith to faith, from faith, that's when your faith journey begins. That's when you had a heart transplant. From Ephesians, go to the right for a little bit. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. You got to talk about Hebrews 11 when you're talking about faith. This passage, Hebrews 11, is infamously called the Hall of Faith. I think I've never been to the Canton Hall of Fame. I have been to the Packer Hall of Fame many times. You guys know I grew up in a locker room, and so anytime sports and the Bible combine, I really like it. And so Hebrews 11 is like a great chapter for me because it's the Hall of Faith. And Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, defines faith, and then he lists all out the Hall of Famers, okay? So let's look at first the definition that the writer of Hebrews gives, and then let's look at who's in the Hall of Faith, how they walked with God, okay? Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Great passage. Assurance can also be translated great confidence. So you've got confidence and the latter part of that verse, conviction in the things that are not seen. So what you have here is not the Bible describing faith as this ambiguous movement or this song that's like, well, have a little faith in me, or you know, something. It's not like wishful thinking. It's not just this blind trust or a leap in the dark. Faith is not belief in something contrary to evidence, but faith has conviction and it has confidence. Conviction and confidence in the eternal God, who has revealed himself through Jesus Christ, who has proven himself to be faithful time and time again, not only in your life, but in mine too. So that as a result, believers throughout all the ages can have confidence and conviction. That's faith. And then you got all these awesome stories. If you got a Bible, just like start scrolling through with your eyes. Like, look at verse 4, talks about Abel, right? Verse 5 mentions Enoch in the Old Testament. Noah in verse 7, we all know the story of Noah. Abraham in 9, Sarah in 11. Goes Isaac, Jacob, Joseph later on. Like, he's just listing out all these Hall of Famers because of their faith. Okay, and I just especially want to camp out on Abraham this week because the writer of Hebrews spills a lot of ink on Abraham. He's especially interested in Abraham's faith. So go ahead and look at verse 8, okay? Cue in to how Abraham had faith. What did his faith look like? Let me read it for us. "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And when he went out, not knowing where he was going." And he went out, not knowing where he was going. I mean, we all like know that story, but just let it prick you a little bit. I mean, God told him to go to a place. It was really far away, crossing deserts, cities, things like that. And he didn't know where he was going. How many of you guys like to be lost? Hannah and I, we went out the other night, and we parked a little bit farther away from the restaurant. And we were walking the restaurant. I was 99% sure I knew how to get there. And so, because of that insecurity that I had, 1%, I pulled out my Google Maps and went, oh yeah, it's only 1 minute away. Seriously, Newman, I couldn't have unrest for 1 minute of my walk. I had to, right? I'm just bringing that up to point out, Abraham didn't know where he was going for so long. And he had so much faith. Look at verse 17, 18, and 19, though, for a second. Check this out as well. It's like the writer is like, yeah. It's not that he just walked with God in not understanding, which is a massive part of faith. But it's also something else here. This is the story where Abraham offers up his son Isaac. Okay? I'll start in 17, but I really want you to look at 19 with me, okay? By faith, Abraham, verse 17, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Okay, so there it is. First, initially in verse 8, learning, man, Abraham had such faith because he obeyed God without even understanding or knowing where he was going. But now we're seeing that there's another aspect, and Abraham had such faith in God because he believed in his ability and he trusted in his strength. He knew the attribute of God. He was sovereign and all-powerful and able, and so he went ahead and did it anyways. Well, God told me to offer him up, and he told me that I would come back down this mountain with him, and so I guess he's going to raise him up or do something else. He's able to resurrect my son if I kill him, is how we would say it in modern-day language. And when Abraham believed, Romans says, and Abraham believed and it was credited to him as righteousness. For the righteous shall live by faith. And so we know that when Abraham believed God, yes, even though I don't understand, I believe in your ability, that credit card of faith was swiped and it was paid for on the cross. And as a result, Abraham, pre-Christ, because of his faith in the coming Messiah and believing God and his ability to provide, we'll see him in heaven one day. There it is, saving faith. And I got to ask, because we're really in this box, if you have never been saved from your sins, I would just say, if you're here today, ask around. Like, ask someone that looks like they've got the joy of the Lord as their strength. Ask, I think that guy knows the Lord. I'm going to ask him, when did God open your eyes? Like, what happened with this whole faith stuff when you came to faith? And you might not have this verbiage yet, but this is what those of the faith believe, that they believe that God's son was Jesus, that Jesus was born of a Virgin Mary, that he suffered under Pontius Pilate, he was killed, he was buried for 3 days in the grave, that he rose again, and he right now is seated at the right hand of the Father. That's our Apostles' Creed, a summation of the Christian belief. And so we say, praise God for saving faith. Like, what does it look like to have like a childlike expression of faith? Like, Lord, I believe. I believe all that. I don't know all the details, but yes, it's true. And I need you. I need you to come in my life and save me from my sins. I can't do it on my own. Would you save me? That's what's called placing your faith and trust in Jesus. That's the gift. Anyone interested in that? By the way, next week, there's going to be a whole bunch of people who proclaim their faith in a public manner through the divine ordinance of baptism. If you've never been baptized, if you've never said, I want to follow Jesus, and by following him means I want to obey his commands, and one of the first commands he gives is to be baptized. And so to go under and come up and say, I've got a new nature now. I don't want to eat hay anymore. I want to eat steak. Vegans, just go with me, okay? Just chill out a little bit. If you have those questions about coming to faith or a desire to follow him by faith by getting baptized, come talk to me or one of the elders after this service. Let's transition. Let's transition from saving faith to sanctifying faith. Here's the question. Ready? Why would it look anything different? Like, why would it be so different? When it comes to saving faith, we trust God without understanding. We trust God for his ability to save and to act and to move and to work. If we're saying biblical faith is confidence, if we're saying biblical faith is a conviction, a confidence and conviction in an eternally wise, all-powerful, all-knowing, eternally trustworthy God, then why would it be any different? Why would sanctifying faith have to be defined so differently? You don't have to go there, but Colossians 2:6 says this. It says, therefore, as you have received Christ, so walk in him. Other translations. So just as you've received Christ, continue to walk in him, rooted and built up in the faith. What's it saying? The same way you receive Christ is the same way you grow in Christ. This is the whole argument of 1 Corinthians. This is the whole argument of Galatians. The people of Galatians were going, okay, we're saved by grace, but now let's grow by the law. No. You're saved by grace, so you grow in grace. And grace is the sanctifying tool. You're saved by faith. Now you look to God by faith. It's the same thing. That's why Romans says from faith to faith. Let me show you. Romans 1:17. Go ahead and go there, okay? I'll start in 16. Everyone has this one, like, everyone's heard this one before. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it, the gospel, is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And here's verse 17. Here we go. For in it, that's the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Some translations say from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. So there it is. The whole Christian life can be marked by one of faith unto God. I came to Christ by faith, and I walk in faith. What's it look like to walk with God? I don't know. Trust him. Get to know him. Trust him. We've said this before, but your whole life, you will be trusting God for something. I'll say it in different words. There will never not be a time in your life where you don't have to have faith in this life. Faith will end one day when we're before him face to face. That's why the greatest of these is love. Faith, hope, love. We won't have to hope anymore because we'll see him. We won't have to have faith because we'll have eyes to see him now. And then love, we'll just get to love him all our days. So faith, right now, in this earthly life, is what our life is described like. It's the chief characteristic of your relationship with him. Now, this week, just personally, has been a very faith-building week for me. I don't know if you can identify with this. Financial things, health things, family things, relational things. Does that hit anyone for you? Does that hit home? Anyone trusting the Lord in those areas? Financial or relational or family or health? Yeah. Yeah, me too. Me too. And it's been so good for my heart to study faith and trusting Him. And not to delight in this process of faith and not to despise it, which is so my fleshly heart. I just long for and wish fleshly the day when I don't have to have faith anymore. Because my bent is pride. I just want to live my life my own way and do things my own, you know? It's like, that's not walking with God. That's walking by sight. It's not walking by faith. You know what I mean? I'm pretty weak in my faith. You ever doubt? I think when you're placing your faith in God in a sanctifying way, when you're trusting Him, what you're doing really is you're looking back on His track record, not only in the Scriptures, but also in your life. You're going, well, shoot, why am I lacking faith here? You have been so faithful here, here, and here in the Scriptures. You've been faithful through your son Jesus. You've been faithful through Paul and faithful through Peter and James and John. And you've also been so faithful specifically in my life. You've been the provider. You've been the comforter. You've been the healer here and here and here and here. Man, how come I've been walking with you for this many years? How come I still, right? But yet, to delight in the aspect of still needing to trust Him and to have faith in Him is so, so sanctifying. Sanctifying to set you apart, to make you holy, to be like Jesus. I remember when I was in seminary, and I had this Old Testament professor. His name was James Allman, and he was teaching us the Old Testament, and he said this quote every class, because what he was doing, he was building our faith in God. He was introducing us to God in the Old Testament. And story after story, he would always end his class with this, and I have it for us here. It says, what God has done in the past is a model of what He'll do in the future. And if it's just that, hold up, isn't that true? Like, what He's done in the past, His ability is the same to do it exactly the same way in the future. Like, so we can trust Him. Take it to bank. Like, that's it. Yet, He's too creative to do the same thing twice. And so you can trust Him, yet there's unknown in the future. And that's what's called the great Christian adventure. And so when you look back on His faithfulness, what you're doing is you're seeing and you're marveling at His ability, at who He is. And if you could go one step deeper, then when you're marveling, you're worshiping a specific attribute and then applying it to your life, like in real time. For all you math junkies out there, here's an equation I'm making up, okay? But just trying to communicate it in different ways. Here is a faith equation, okay? Look at the screen with me here. So this is what it means to walk by faith, okay? It's living your life, which would mean experiencing the calling of God in your life, going to work, facing the challenges, going through the ups and downs, just living your life and in that process, looking to God. Like your proverbial eyes, the eyes of your heart are continually going to the Lord and having your requests be made known to Him through prayer. You're like, you're walking with Him, right? This is called walking by faith. So you're living, and God is intricately woven into the fibers of your heart, and you're just looking to Him with stuff. So when you're like walking to class, or when you're about to give this presentation at your work site, or you're about to nail in this nail with this hammer, paint this thing. It's all for the Lord, and you're going, Lord, would you help me here? Lord, I'm really struggling here. I'm insecure about this. This is walking by faith. I'm going to trust you with this situation. Why? Because this is who you have been. This is who you are. This is who you're going to continue to be. You got a track record, Lord. Okay? Let's look at the other equation, though. This is walking by sight. Okay? Living life minus the Lord. So this is just living your own life, just doing your thing. And there is like no spiritual thought, heartbeat, desire, pursuit, whatever. And maybe you're going, well, that's not my intention. I don't set out on a Monday morning to like leave the Lord out of my life. But if we don't, bridge illustration, paint God's word on our hearts and pursue Him in prayer and deliberately walk by faith, then what we're doing is we're living a life of pride. And we're going, I got this. I got this. I can handle. And then you fill in the blank, whatever is going on in your life. And so, essentially, if you're walking by sight, your life is marked by just living your life. Just living. That's it. You're just going on with life, with joys and challenges, and never going to God. So how's your heart? How's your heart of faith? That's the question. That's the EKG heart check. Great starting point for us as a church. Here's the questions, and then I'd love to invite you to come up and just share. Here's the questions. What's one thing that is testing your faith or causing your faith to grow in Christ? Maybe that phrase stung you a little bit, or it built your faith where you're like, I've been despising having to trust the Lord instead of delighting in it. The question, how you doing? Trusting the Lord and walking by faith. So I just want to invite you now, okay? Joe, if you'd come up. I'll put the microphone down just so it's not as intimidating. But share with your church. When we come to church, it's an all skate. It's not this, what do you got for me? But we should all come with this heart that says, how can I stir one another up towards love and good deeds? Lord, how would you, and where are you sending me, and how are you calling me? And so this would be a great opportunity not to withhold, but to build up the body of Christ through confession, through testimony, through just what and how the Lord has spoken in your heart. How's your heart? Let's hear from you.